Sorry, girls, we won't mention any names. The reality of coming back to Lancaster County and getting a culture shock with all of the Mennonites everywhere. We're sitting in a church just full of Mennonites. It's just weird. But it is good to be back with all you good people at Myerstown. I am here this evening on behalf of UMM. We currently are in Baltimore, as Roger said. UMM is Urban Mennonite Ministries, and our passion is using schools as an outreach. I'd just like to share a little bit about who we are, and then also would like to move in and talk a little bit about my family and the journey that God has put us on. So, UMM, what is our focus? Our focus is evangelism through education. And it was originally, the original focus was elementary, but that has just shifted a little bit. And we have a daycare, and it's just amazing what God is doing through our daycare and elementary school in Baltimore. The desire of UMM is to start multiple schools in multiple cities throughout the U.S. Currently, we are in Hamden in Baltimore. We're about 5 miles from Inner Harbor, so we're real close. You can jump on 83 and be in Inner Harbor in about 10 minutes, and then you spend about 10 or 15 minutes looking for parking. So we have a school there in Baltimore, also a church as well, Hamden Mennonite Church. Nathan Zook is our pastor. And one of the goals of UMM, along with the schools, is also living and connecting with the community. So our staff, we all live in the city, and we are scattered kind of away from the school, so we're always walking the streets to head to school. Our desire is to build long-term relationships, and we were packing up to come up here this evening, and the neighbor lady came walking up the alley, and life has dealt her a really nasty hand. A lot of it's bad choices that she made in life, but she is an amputee at the knee, so she walks around with crutches everywhere and is missing a large portion of her teeth due to smoking and drugs and all that. And so I was packing up, and she come walking up the alley, and she stopped and she said, "So, you go on vacation?" And I said, "No." I said that we're coming up here to Lancaster, and my wife is actually planning to go on vacation, but I need to go back and work. And so she's like, "You guys live in Pennsylvania, right?" And I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Where all those Quakers are?" And I was like, "Well, I think you're probably talking about Amish." She's like, yeah, Amish. "Like, are you guys like Amish?" And I'm like, no. She's like, "So what's the difference?" So I took some time there to explain to her the difference between Mennonites and Amish. And she said, so this is probably really getting personal, but are you guys shunned?" And I said, "No, we're not shunned." I said, "We were never Amish, so we can't be shunned." So I took a little time to explain to her what the shunning part was. And it just has opened another door in our neighborhood there, that as we live there and interact, people are asking questions. I met up with a neighbor man that was mowing the neighbor lady's yard. And he come up to me, he said, "So, the same thing, you guys Amish?" He's like, "I told my friend you can't be Amish because Amish can't live in the city because they wouldn't have anywhere to park their buggies." And I was like, "No, I said, we do have an Amish on staff, but no, we don't have any Amish. We're not Amish. And then he looks at me and he says, does it bother you to talk to me? Like he starts pointing them out. He had tattoos all over him. Like he was all inked up. And he's like, so this one, it was a 666 that was, it was all satanic tattoos. He said, does this bother you to talk to me? I said, no. I said, you're free to talk to me, and I want to talk to you. I said, I'm not talking to the tattoos. So I'm talking to you. And it has just opened another door. It's just so exciting that people, we stand out, and we have those opportunities to build those relationships. We still talk when we're, you know, pass or in the street or whatever. So God has been working. So UMM got started with an inspiration that Ruben and Patty Petersheim had, and he would have probably been here this evening, but his family is taking an extended vacation and making a loop out west. So they set up an advisory board in 05. In 07, Ruben's family moved to Baltimore, and they purchased a property and started to connect with the community. He was actually teaching in the public school system for several years. And so through that, he was building relationships. And in 2007, they started, the executive board was set up. And then Michael Petersheim moved to Baltimore as well. They have five children, and they are currently not any more involved with the school, other than they are patrons. They send their children there. They do help out occasionally, but so they are actually living there in the city, and also reaching out to their neighbors there. And then in 2013, the church was started. I did fail to mention, the first year there was five students. So where are we at now? Currently we have 63 children, and we have an infant care, so it starts at 6 weeks and goes all the way to eighth grade. So in the last 7 years, it has grown tremendously, and it's exciting. As I said before, we have a preschool and daycare, and they start out from 6 weeks. We don't have any that young right now, but that's when they are eligible to enroll. And that goes to fourth grade, and then we have kindergarten through eighth. And this year was a milestone for us. We had our first graduate complete the eighth grade. So it was pretty exciting for us this year to have that accomplishment. We do have a conventional style classroom where students, there's a teacher and it's a direct teaching. And so who sends their children to our school? I find it interesting that obviously parents who want a good education and are concerned about the quality of the friends that their children have would enroll in the elementary. But even in the daycare, originally when I first moved down there, I thought, oh, this is all career people who need somewhere for their children to go during the day. But there's actually a large percentage of our patron body that simply want to give their children a place to grow and interact with other children in a controlled, safe, godly environment. And so it's not just career people who want to shove their children off on somebody else to babysit for the day. So this is our new building, and I went through that pretty quick. So we do share the auditorium with the church. We have church every Sunday except for the fifth Sunday. On the fifth Sunday, we don't have church. We have an average attendance of about 45 people on a Sunday morning, so it's exciting. We also do summer Bible school, and I was standing in the back, and I was just so excited. This is just gets me cranked when to see this, you guys investing so much time in the lives of the children. It's a lot of work to get your children ready every night for Bible school, but God bless you for it. You'll never regret it, and neither will they. We have a summer Bible school in Baltimore as well. There's a park right across from the school, and so Tents for Rent comes down and sets up a whole bunch of carnival tents, and so we have the Bible school right there. Draws a lot of attention to have the tents set up there, and it's exciting time. I really enjoy that part of it. We do singing and obviously lessons and so forth. Moving into our elementary school, this was a picture from this year. This is our elementary students. Have a picture there of them practicing for the all-school program. Which is an exciting time, a way to reach out to the community. This is the elementary practicing, but the daycare also is involved in that. It's an all-school event, and the parents really appreciate it. And it's for some of them, it's one of the only times they actually get into church. One of our values is teaching culture. Here they are having it's in meal in another culture. That's the best I can tell you. I'm not in that class. But another thing that we really strive for is mixed age interaction. So each class has an adopted classroom. One of the daycare classrooms has a classroom in the elementary, and they do things together. They're making pizzas here with the three-year-olds. So it's just an exciting time for the school to interact and work together. Not only the children, we also have a lot of school functions. Here we have a back-to-school night where all the parents from the elementary, the daycare, everybody comes together. The first back to school night that I was at, I was talking to a gentleman, and he was just shaking his head. He said, "This is what I just love about this school." He's like, "The community." He's like, "When I went to school, there were 30 kids in my class, and I didn't even know all the kids, and our parents totally didn't know each other." But he's like, "Here, we know everybody. The infants know the parents of the elementary. It's a community." And so it is really exciting. The parents really appreciate that. We also do, each year we do two service learning projects. Here they are preparing Operation Christmas Child package for distribution. And so I took a load of them this year. The children really got into it this year. I filled the van up, and I took it to this church, and there was two old ladies there that were supposed to be receiving the packages, and their jaws just like dropped, and they're like, "Oh my word," they were so excited. So it's a great opportunity for the children, and they actually, this past year, Operation Christmas Child, called the school and asked if our students would go, and they were given a program and ask if some of our students would come and participate in that. So it's a really exciting. This is some pictures of the daycare. Paint in here. You never know what your day's gonna look like. Was just having the day was going well the other day, and somebody came up and said, "Hey, we really think there's a bead in this child's nose." We get a flashlight. Yeah, it's there. And so we do our microscopic surgery, and it really wasn't that bad. We actually did get it out fairly easy. But you never know. When you get children, you can never protect them from everything. So life is never dull. This is our six-seated deluxe stroller that we can take all of our infants and toddlers out for a ride. Washing hands becomes a habit for the children. This is some of you are going to understand what that is, and some of you aren't, but our four-year-old Miss Roseanne's class was learning about construction, so they had one of the patrons who's an architect come in, and they sat down with the children, they designed a house, drew prints up. I cut it out of cardboard. The children, there you can see one of them, is helping me. We drilled holes and used zip ties to put it all together. And there's the finished product. They were proud. I was proud. But several weeks after, they were done with it in their classroom. And they all worked together. And they folded it up. And they carried it down. When it was folded up, it was probably about 12 feet long. And they carried it all the way downstairs to the two-year-old classroom and set it back up again. And I was a little concerned, but they worked together and did a great job. Some pictures of the city. I need to keep moving. So I'm gonna keep going through here pretty quick. Why do we use education to evangelize? Very practically, 40% of the child's day is spent in a school setting. So it's a great time for us to speak into their lives. It's actually a pretty high priority for a lot of our patrons. The long-term goals, obviously, like I talked to you about earlier, building relationships and more schools. We are currently looking for another venue to start another school. How can you become involved in UMM? First of all, and the most important, is prayer. We're still looking for two staff, so if that's something that you're interested in, the age is 21, talk to us. On the ground, obviously there's always work projects. In December, we carol on 34th Street, and it's a tourist attraction. It shut down the street, and it got lights up everywhere, and also it's a great opportunity. Hand out hot chocolate and so forth. So this is my family. I'd like to move into our journey really quickly. You ladies are gonna get off the hook just shortly here. So our personal journey. We moved to Baltimore in August of 2016, just before the school year. Geneva was going to be starting kindergarten that year, so we moved just before kindergarten, or just before the school year started. We purchased a home in the Woodbury neighborhood, which is about a mile from the school and is just the next neighborhood over from Hamden. And I would just like to read a portion of scripture this evening that my wife and I has been a major part of our journey. It's taken out of Exodus 33, and this is where the children of Israel are around Mount Sinai, and they have just ground up the golden calf that they had constructed, and God tells Moses it's time to get up and move out of here. And it says in verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me," this is Moses speaking to God. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. and I know thee by name. Our journey to Baltimore was less than dramatic. And I say that some people say, oh, I felt God calling me here or there. And I can't say that I've really felt God saying, go here. But I didn't feel God saying no. And as we were pondering the call to go, my wife came to me one day with this verse. And it just was really a challenge. God, if you want me to go, then you go before me. And that means that I'm going, and then I'll see God working and God opening doors. And I'd just like to share a little story. And I don't know if you can see that there, but it's God still moves through tea bags. We were living there for a couple months. We were in the process of moving, and we had already packed a bunch of our stuff. Some of the stuff was at our new house, and some of it was at the apartment. A relatively stressful time. We just moved like a couple months before that. Now we're moving again. And one evening, we were sitting there in our apartment, and my wife's like, oh. She's like, I could just drink some tea right now. I just feel like I need some tea. And I said, oh, I am so sorry, but like, that's already packed and moved to the new place. And all of a sudden, it hit me. I was like, oh, you know what? I had gotten the mail in the morning, and I had set it down in the office and hadn't brought it in. So I sent Geneva to go get the mail. And I knew in that stack of mail, there was a letter from Jess Musser. And so I knew my wife would be excited to see that. And so I sent Geneva down to go get it, and she got it and brought it back. And my wife said, so this is like literally within 15 minutes of my wife expressing a desire for some tea. My wife opened the letter, and there was a little note and a tea bag. And I said, wow, somebody's watching out for us. But, you know, this stuff always happens to other people in faraway lands. If God wants you there, he's going to show himself strong. And it was just, it was amazing. And I cling to that. God has called us there. It's not always been easy, but God will show himself strong. Sometimes God asks us to move, and then he'll show us. In January, we added on to our home by 2 feet. And so it was a pretty exciting time for us. I just have a few pictures here yet, quick, of Geneva playing with the neighbors. I put a sandbox in the backyard to give them a place, and the neighbors, it's a magnet. The neighbor children just come and play, and so it's really exciting to see her interacting with her neighbors and building relationships. They come down, knock on our door, can Geneva come out and play? So, well, yeah, it's not really convenient, but yes, she can come out and play. So it's just exciting. I hope you can get a little glimpse of what we do and how God's been working. I'm going to turn it over to Miss Melissa now. She's going to share a little bit about what her life looks like. She is the toddler room teacher.
I never imagined myself living in a city. I didn't come to Baltimore because I wanted to live in a city. I came to Baltimore because I love children and I wanted to work at the daycare. Living in the city was a big adjustment for me because I enjoyed living in the country and my parents lived on a dairy farm, so I was used to going out to the barn and milking the cows. It took me a while to get used to walking everywhere and being okay with going places by myself. But now that I've been there for almost 2 years, I enjoy living in the city. A few things that I enjoy about the city is being able to walk a lot of different places, taking public transit, and all the good restaurants, coffee shops, and cute little shops on the avenue. The avenue is 4 blocks on 36th Street that is full of restaurants and stores. And a few of my favorite places to go on the avenue are the Charmery, which is an ice cream shop, Trove, which is a home goods store, and Common Ground, which is a coffee shop. When I first came to Baltimore in August 2016, I was the 2-year-old assistant. In November, I started helping with the infants. I really enjoyed working with the infants because this was the position that I had originally wanted when I moved to Baltimore. And when I was younger, I would always like to hold children after church, and my mom always said that I was her baby note. A day in the infant room consisted of bottle feeding, changing diapers, and putting them to bed. And they all had their own separate schedule, so it could be challenging to remember all the different schedules, but once you got used to it, it wasn't that bad. And we had 6 infants in a room with 2 teachers. I helped with the infants until August of 2017, and then Ruben asked me if I would want to be the toddler teacher. And at first I was like, I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to move or not, because I really enjoyed being in the infant room. But I said that I would be the toddler teacher, and so this past year I had 3 toddlers, and here's a picture of 3 of them. You're probably wondering what we call toddlers. There are 2 things that we like for them to be doing before they come to the toddler room. And those are, we like if they are walking and if they are down to 1 nap a day. And they often move to my room when they are around 15 months. I really enjoy teaching the toddlers, and I'm planning to have them again next school year. I'll tell you a little bit about what a day in the toddler room looks like. The daycare opens at 7, and my toddlers arrive anywhere from 7 to 9. And we serve them breakfast from 7:45 to 8:15. At 9 o'clock, we have circle time, where we sing a few songs together, and then I read them a story. And it's usually very short, because they can't sit very long. And then on Wednesdays, after we're done with circle time, we will do crafts. And it could be anything from painting to making window clings or coloring pictures. Here's a picture of them finger painting. And here they're playing with Play-Doh. And this one is, they are making window clings, and then we stick them on the windows. And then at 9:30, we have a snack. And after snack time, we go outside. If the weather is nice, we'll play out on the side playground or the front playground, or we'll go over to Roosevelt Park. And then at 11 o'clock, we have lunch. And after lunch, we usually go play outside again. And then at 12 o'clock, we have quiet time. Quiet time can be challenging, especially if they are new in my classroom, because we transition them to sleeping on mats instead of in cribs. So they're free to get up and run and go wherever they want to. So it's not unusual to have at least one up and running around until you are able to go sit beside them and keep them there. And then they often sleep until 2:30 or 3 o'clock. And then at 3:30, we have another snack. And then after snack time, it's just free play until their parents come to pick them up. And the daycare closes at 5:30. Here's a picture of one of my toddlers. He has some dress-up clothes on. And here's a picture of, well, at one time, the infants used to be at another building across Falls Road, and then they would come to the toddler room, and they were always excited to see the infants, so they were all looking at their faces. And here's one of them looking at a book after he woke up from his nap. And I am also going to talk about adopted classrooms. Daryl was talking about a little bit. This past year, my room's adopted classroom was kindergarten and first grade. A few things that we did together were singing together. We would do that about once a month. And then sometimes some of the kindergartners and first graders would come down to my room and look at books with my friends, and they would always enjoy to play with them afterwards. Another thing we did was passing out Hamden Happenings. Hamden Happenings is a flyer that lets people know what is happening in Hamden. And we also did the shoe boxes together. And here are a few pictures of us doing the shoe boxes. Here they are writing notes to put in the shoe boxes. And we also have a little free library outside school. So all the children brought books, and then we went out and restocked the little free library. And we also played at the park together. And I have a few stories about my toddlers. One afternoon, I was carrying my 2-year-old Madeline like a baby. I asked her, "How old are you?" She said, 3 months. That wasn't really what I wanted her to say. I wanted her to say that she was 2, but that was okay. And I have a story about this. Louis and Clara would like to help each other do puzzles. One of them would say, "Help, help," and the other one would come, get the puzzle piece, and put it in the puzzle. Wesley had a plate out of the kitchen, and he would put it up to his ear, and he's like, "Hello?" And he was using it as his telephone. It's always fun to see them play together and see them be creative with the toys they are playing with. One thing I enjoy about having the toddlers is listening to them talk and hearing them say new words for the first time. It's especially fun when they learn how to say your name. You never know how they might say it. I had one child call me Beeha and another one Miss Missa. Hopefully this gives you a little bit of an idea of life in Baltimore.
Good evening. I have a video to show you of my little people. Yesterday I did not introduce me. I am Caitlin, and I am the 2-year-old teacher, and we have 12 2-year-olds. Oh, we can have up to 12. It's not always that many, but I have a little video from my classroom of them singing. This year they sing all the time, and they're just constantly singing, which is a lot of fun. They're also having circle time. There's a lot going on in one video, but they're having circle time where we sit down and read a book, and they like to do exactly what the teachers do. And so, yeah, I'll let you watch that. So that just gives you a little bit of an idea of what a whole bunch of 2-year-olds like to do. They like to play together. They also like to fight a lot. Here's just random pictures from the classroom. And just, yeah, we do a lot of outside time, and which I think we would all go insane if we didn't have outside time. Line up our chairs, sing Wheels on the Bus. Pretty normal. And that is just a little bit from my life as a 2-year-old teacher. This is called Federal Hill. It's one of my favorite Sunday night things to do is go sit up there and look out over the city. I always imagined myself going to the city, never knowing what I would do there, but I definitely love the part about being in the city and being with little people. It hasn't all been easy, and there's a lot of interesting happenings. The one night I was walking to take a friend that I met out for her birthday, and I was going towards her house. As I was walking down the road, a guy was taking up the whole sidewalk, and I'm like, well, do I cross or do I pass in the grass. So I decided to pass in the grass, which probably should have crossed. He was drunk and he fell over. And I was like, oh dear, now what do I do? I stood there and asked him if he's okay. And he's like, he's okay. He's just drunk. And needless to say, another car stopped. I was very happy to see that other person. We helped him get back up. And the other person nicely put him in his car and took him to his house, which I was happy because I wasn't sure what I was going to do with him, and I needed to go meet a friend. So that's always intriguing, meeting people, not knowing if you can trust them or what they're going to do next. So last summer, we were out on the playground. Maybe it was this spring. I don't know. Sometime we were out on the playground, and one of the three-year-olds, which would have been my little person last year, was explaining how she's going to Florida on an airplane. And I was like, awesome, may I come? She like, no. And I told the next teacher that came out, I'm like, hey, Sabina's going to Florida, and she's going on an airplane. And she's like, well, can I go? And Sabine looks at her and she's like, no, the airplane's for kids only. And we're like, what about your mom? And she's like, well, kids and adult only. And we're like, what are we? She's like, you're the teacher. And so another time I was trying to fix something and I was like, I can't fix this. We'll have to leave it for Mr. Darrell. And the little boy, while he's not so little, third graders, like, but you're the teacher, you know everything. So I concluded that the teacher knows everything, but is just a teacher.
My name is Roseanne Summers. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about public transportation and a little bit about my kids, if I have time. This is a picture of the light rail train. So when I moved to Baltimore about 6 years ago, I chose to live there without a car, partly out of necessity and partly as a lifestyle choice. And I have continued so far without a car for several reasons, and this is not at all to say that my friends should not have cars. This is just, these are my reasons for not having a car and ways I can connect with the community, and they have other ways of connecting with the community. But so one reason is a way to identify with common people. A lot of the patrons who send their kids to our school are actually middle class, pretty well-to-do families, and would not necessarily use public transportation. Some of them would use the light rail to get to work, like I do. I live downtown this year. But a lot of them would not use the bus at all. And it's also good for the environment, which is something I didn't really care about before I moved to Baltimore, but something I learned from my neighbors. It's a way to slow down and enjoy life, I've found, and a way to, kind of a way to actively resist our individualistic American culture. Going where we want to go, doing what we want to do, without anyone, without needing anyone else. I enjoy it for those reasons. One of my favorite escapes from work when I lived in Hamden was to get the bus at the nearest street corner and take it about 10 minutes away to a shopping mall, which is actually one of the more sketchy parts of town, but stepping on the bus would immediately take me into a different world. Almost everyone on the bus was African American or maybe Hispanic. I was usually the only white person. And I just enjoyed the culture. Like, everyone was usually so relaxed and friendly. Sometimes when there were white people riding the bus, I noticed that they were the ones who were complaining when the bus was late or something like that. And so sometimes I was actually kind of embarrassed. But I ride the light rail and sometimes also the bus to work every day. And one morning recently, my sister and I were getting off the bus, and the bus driver said, "Hey, do you have a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And she's like, "I have heartburn. Can you go across the street and buy me a bottle of water?" And so I said, "Sure." She gave me $5 and didn't want to keep the change. So I went and bought her a bottle of water. And ever since that, we've been really good friends. And so in the mornings when I ride the bus, I often stand up there beside her and chat with her. And that's been really neat. I always wanted to be the person that, you know, knew other people on the bus, knew the driver. And it happened because she was willing to ask me for something. So that was a good reminder to me to be willing to ask other people for help. It can actually help us to connect with them. So this is a picture in my classroom. I teach the four-year-olds, and this is one of my little girls and one of Miss Melissa's toddlers looking at a book together. We always love to have our baby friends come up and hang out with us. And this picture I really love. This is one of my favorite pictures from about a month ago. Three of my little girls, and they're all three a different nationality, and they're all holding baby dolls that are their nationality. Four-year-olds are so much fun, 4 and 5-year-olds. They're always making me laugh. I have one little girl who our teacher appreciation banquet was coming up, and Miss Esther, who's the cook, was in the room, and she said, "So my mom let me know how I could help out with the banquet. She said I could give a speech. And actually, I don't really want to wait, so I'm just going to tell you right now." And she's like, "Miss Esther, your food is just like so, makes me feel so good and so happy, and you're just my bestie best friend." And then she's like, "Miss Roseanne, you just like come over evil with good." And Miss Esther said, "Do you mean overcome evil with good?" She's like, "Yeah." She said, "A lot of times I do things that are bad, and you just overcome evil with good instead of like the regular." So I think of the verse a lot when I'm working with my children. "Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom," because I never know how long I'm going to have my kids. We that work in daycare have our kids actually more than 40% of their day. We often feel like we pretty much raise them. But things can happen, they move, and sometimes we don't even have much warning. And so we have them, like all I know is that I have them for today. And I get to talk to them about Jesus, and I get to love them. And then they're gone. This week, I have a little girl who I had all year. I had her brother before her, and it's going to be her last day tomorrow. And then I have two little boys that are 6 and 7, and they were here for like 5.5 years, ever since I moved, and Friday is their last day. So it's times like this that I wonder if I can even keep doing this job, because I'm just so sad. But yeah, it's definitely worth it. So, thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing. And I did fail to mention what my role is actually there. I don't teach. But I do maintenance, so those little kids are just always breaking stuff, and so there's always work to do. And then there's I do the grocery shopping and some different things like that, so my days are usually kept pretty busy. But We do cover your prayers. The work is great in Baltimore. I was telling the girls on the way up, last year there was 344 homicides in Baltimore, which puts us at 56 per 100,000 people, which is higher than Chicago. So we don't feel scared there, but the reality of it is it's a really, really, really dark place. And it's just such a need of the Word of God. I was talking to Ruben as well, and I was like, you know, I was born, I think sometimes I was born in a tree. I really do enjoy the outdoors. And I would love to live somewhere where there was just woods everywhere. I was like, it just doesn't work, because when I walk out my front door, there's so many needs. And it'd be selfish of me to live anywhere else but where God has called me. So we are happy. I just want to close in a word of prayer here. Father God, we just thank you for this evening. Thank you for the people here at Myerstown and how they are serving you faithfully in their community. I pray that you would bless them and bless them as they serve the children here as well. Just pray for the work as well in Baltimore. And I pray that your spirit would go forth. Thank you for your love and for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You can consider yourselves dismissed.